We'd like to very gratefully welcome everyone to Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. On this auspicious festival that we have each Sunday. Today is a special day. I believe it was on this very day, 11 years ago, that Sri Radha Gopinath were installed on their altar. The Supreme Lord appears in his form of the deity as an act of love and compassion. One who understands this perfects their life. Since time immemorial, we have rejected the mercy of the Lord. Krishna is providing everything to everyone at all times. He provides the sunshine that gives light, the air that gives us breath, the water, the food grains, vegetables, fruits that nourish us. He provides the limbs of our body and senses by which we can see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. He provides the brain by which we can think. He provides all of the facilities that we use for our maintenance and satisfaction. He provides our loved ones. Krishna is the source of everything that exists. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva vajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Krishna declares in the 10th chapter of Gita that I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. But unfortunately, the world today is a great victim of illusion. We are at every moment receiving the blessings of God, which He is providing out of love. Krishna only loves. There is nothing but love in Krishna. Supreme love, but manifests in various forms or moods according to how we are relating to Him. Just like a crude example is in this world a father or mother. If they're a good father and mother, they really love their child. But they'll show their love in different ways. Sometimes by embracing the child and saying, "Oh, I love you so much." Sometimes when the child is very obedient and very pleasing, the parent will please the child and give the child so many gifts. And sometimes if the child is behaving in a way contrary to his or her own best interest, the parent will chastise, sometimes punish. But it is all done out of love. Sometimes we cannot understand because we are so ignorant. When I was a little boy, when I would be mischievous, too much mischievous, my father would have to do some punishment to me. He would always cry before he would do it. He would say, "This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you." And I used to argue, "Why are you saying you're going to slap me in the back part of my body, and how is it going to hurt you?" He said, no, you don't understand. This will hurt me more than it hurts you." And I thought, this is all so much word jugglery. But actually, as you grow up, you realize that a little slap in the backside doesn't hurt so much. But to have to do that to someone to teach them a good lesson out of love is painful. So whatever Krishna does, it is the perfect manifestation of his love. And the miseries and sufferings of this world are there to teach us how to live in such a way that we can find supreme eternal ecstasy. Because that is the nature of the soul. We are the Ananda Shakti of the Lord. We are part and parcel of Krishna. That means we are eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. However, we have forgotten how to reciprocate with Krishna's love. And the whole world and all of its educational institutions is there to condition us how to forget Krishna by engrossing our consciousness in so many superficial, temporary forms of illusion. But Krishna is so kind that he appears in various ways just to invite us to once again acknowledge his love and reciprocate with that love. He appears in the form of his name. The name of the Lord is full of all the powers, all the sweetness, all the beauty of the Lord. The fact is, when we can absorb our consciousness with great determination and faith in offenselessly chanting the holy name, the Lord's form, the Lord's pastimes, the Lord's qualities, the Lord's abode, they are all revealed to us causelessly from within our heart. This is the power of the mercy of the holy name. And it is the Yuga Dharma. Kalera dosa nide rajan asti heka mahan guna kirtanat eva krishnasya mukta sangha paramrajan. In the age of Kali, this is the great benediction. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared, Param Drishtvani Vartate Sri Krishna Sankirtana. It is the ultimate benediction upon all humanity. Because Krishna has manifested the spiritual world within his name. To discuss the very high topics of Krishna's pastimes is somewhat purifying. And it is very pleasing to the heart, to some. But it is only through determined, faithful absorption in offenselessly chanting the holy name that any of these things can be realized. One of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers was telling us how one, when he was a little boy, there was a dramatic performance taking place in a nearby village. And these people, their performance was simply doing the leelas of the Lord and chanting very emotional kirtans. And it was mostly young children that were performing. But they were trained so expertly that when they would sing, everyone in the audience would weep. He explained on one occasion, you know how sometimes the whole crowd becomes restless? It happens here all the time when I'm speaking. People are just losing their attention and they start talking to each other and looking at where's the fan and where's the door and who's sitting 16 meters away from me. So people were becoming restless and they started to talk. And this one little child, he started singing so intensely with so much feeling that everyone was just stunned and started to cry. And he was chanting the glories of the Lord. What to speak of their performances? However, what was those tears in the performers? And what were the tears in the audience? It was just a temporary emotional experience that had some shadow connection to the Supreme Lord. Because actually they were not singing with pure devotion. They were just highly trained professional singers of kirtan that knew how to cry whenever it was the time to cry, that knew how to become effulgent when it was time to become effulgent, that could control people's emotions. So this is a temporary experience dealing with one's emotions. But what we are talking about in Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta is not just some sort of emotional experience. We are talking about spiritual experience. It's something that doesn't come by professional training or practice. Something that comes through dedication, humility, and faith. When someone sings in that sweet mood, that may touch our soul. But this is the power of the holy name when it is chanted with humility, with determination, with faith. When it is chanted by someone who is free of offenses, through the holy name, the abode of Vrindavan is revealed to us from within our hearts. There is no need of any other process. In fact, there is no other process that can genuinely give you that experience except the sincere chanting of Krishna's holy name. Krishna appears in so many wonderful ways to help us to concentrate our attention and our affection exclusively on Him. Through His pastimes, through the description of His qualities, through His form. Today we are celebrating the appearance of the form of the Lord. When the Lord comes as the deity in the temple, He is personally, out of His kindness, agreeing to be present before us. Not as a statue representation of a spiritual principle, but the Lord Himself personally incarnates with his full opulences in that form. Some people think that you are worshipping wood or stone. Several hundred years ago in India, during the subjugation of the Malecha conquerors, they considered that the deity in the temple was idol worship. And they were very systematically, deliberately breaking to pieces whatever deities they could find and establishing their own conception of religion. One time, Srila Prabhupada explained to us that a particular person from a very famous sect of the Vedic school, or what we may call Hinduism, they said, "Swamiji, why are you worshipping these idols? You should just perform yajna. Why are you worshipping these idols? You say that the idol eats. How do you think a piece of stone eats? So much money, so much time you're spending to offer your food to this. How do you expect a stone to eat? The food's still there." Srila Prabhupada explained that Krishna in Gita, he says that if you offer something with love and devotion, he accepts it. Ashnami, he eats it. So who should I expect, who should I believe? The supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, or a fool and loafer like you? Krishna is unlimited. Everything is Krishna's energy. Krishna is the source of everything. Purashya Shaktir Vivadaiva Shruyate. And everything is a manifestation or expansion of his multifarious energies. Krishna has the inconceivable power to enter into any of his energies and be manifested. Some people say God's everywhere, so why do you worship him in the deity? Well, Prabhupada say if God is everywhere, that means he's also in the deity. But at the time of installation, according to the principles of Parampara, the Lord's sincere representatives invite the Lord, according to very specific rules and regulations, he invites with great devotion on behalf of all the previous acharyas to kindly come and appear in this deity form, to accept the worship of your devotees. And the Lord certainly comes. When we look at Sri Radha Gopinath, we are actually seeing the Lord and his eternal consort as he eternally exists in Goloka Vrindavan. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath are personally standing before us. We're looking at them right now. Why are we not fainting in ecstasy? We read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna would give his darshan to devotees, they would just faint in ecstasy. His beauty is so immensely, immeasurably, insurmountably wonderful, that no one can, the tiny little jivatma cannot bear to contain the ecstasy that it feels when seeing Krishna's beauty. But we're looking and looking for some time, and then we start looking elsewhere. Maybe something more interesting is happening around. How is that? Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. Only when to the degree our eyes are decorated with love, Krishna reveals the truth of his form to us. As you approach me, as you surrender to me, I will reveal myself accordingly to you. That is the word of Krishna. So we have to begin the process of bhakti with faith. Adosha tatata sadhu sangota bhajanakriya tato nartina vittisha tato nishtaru chistata. At the beginning there's faith. We have to develop that faith. We develop that faith by first associating with devotees. Sincere devotees. Not people who are criticizing others. Not people who are engrossed in mundane affairs. That will not help our faith. People who have faith. People who want faith. People who are willing to pay the price for faith. We should associate with them. And what is the price? To follow in the footsteps of the great souls. To hear the glories of the Lord, to chant the names of the Lord, to follow the principles of the Lord. To take the position of a servant. The position of the servant is to please the master. And what pleases the master best? To be the servant of the servant of his servants. By such association, by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, our faith becomes more and more enriched. Gradually, we take initiation and we surrender to the order of God as it's coming down through parampara and coming into our life through our spiritual masters. By following this principle, gradually our misconceptions and materialistic attachments are removed from the heart. That is anartha nivritti. What is between the Lord who's standing before us and our soul that is longing to love Him, to surrender to Him in ecstasy? It's the material attachments that are within our mind. Our soul is looking and seeing. It's not the eyes seeing. It's not the mind seeing. It's the soul that sees. But it sings through the filter of our mind, our intelligence, our false ego, and then through our senses. So what do we see? We see everything in this world being perverted by all the mass accumulations of mountains and mountains of lust, envy, anger, greed, pride, and illusion. When you look at the wall, when you look at another person, when you look at a tree, you're not seeing what's really there. You're seeing what all your material attachments of the mind, intelligence, and ego is perverting of what the reality of any situation. If we had pure consciousness, when we would look at anything in this world, we would see Krishna's energy. And it would bring us bliss. When we see an insect, we see an incredible creation of Krishna with a beautiful spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna, within that little creation, crawling around. And it would bring us happiness. But when we see the insect, we think, ooh, this is very bad. When we see a tree, we just drive by it and walk by it. It's nothing very exciting. But if we could just see what it is, incredible artistic manifestation of the Lord's potency with a beautiful soul that's eternal, knowledge and blissful within it. Why can't we see that? Everything is existing simply for the pleasure of Krishna. Krishna is all beautiful. Therefore, all of his energies are all beautiful if we see it in relation to him. But we are not seeing anything as it is. We are seeing everything according to our perversions. So through the process of bhakti, we clean these perversions from our heart. We bring about the healthy, pure state of consciousness, where the ego is no longer, I am the body and I am the enjoyer, and this is mine, and this is yours. But the ego is feeling, I am the eternal servant of Krishna. Everything is Krishna's. Everyone is Krishna's. And when the mind and the intelligence are in harmony with that truth, then only can we see, hear, taste, smell, or touch anything and actually experience what is the truth. As long as we are forgetful of Krishna, everything within our life is an illusion. What do we mean by illusion? When we speak about this piece of metal, the piece of metal is not an illusion. The piece of metal is real. It's the Lord's energy manifesting in this way, and it's taken this form. The illusion is my perception of it. I'm seeing it separated from its eternal relationship with Krishna. I'm seeing it according to my own egoistic conditioning. Therefore, it is an illusion. The difference between truth and illusion is perception. How to bring about true perception? That is the path of bhakti. Rupa Goswami explains, we must purify our mind and purify our senses. And that process of purification begins by vibrating the holy name of the Lord with our tongue. But how to chant the holy name in such a way that we really become purified? There is a whole science. It is not something cheap. We have to learn how to chant with real faith, with a genuine spirit of humility and service. Unless we are trained in this principle, we can chant for millions of births and make very little progress. We can hear the Lord's Leela for millions of births and make little progress. Until we learn the humility and the desire to be the servant of the servant of the servant, and we chant with that consciousness, there will be no realization. And that is why our line of great acharyas, they are teaching us the real thing, not something that will simply bring popular attendance, entertainment, or some cheap thrill of emotional experience. But they are trying to give us real entrance into the spiritual realm of consciousness. That may take some time, and it takes a tremendous amount of sincerity. That is the price. The Lord appears in this beautiful form. And the special feature of the deity is that they're watching us. They're accepting what we give to them. And they're reciprocating. The Lord reciprocates according to how we reciprocate. The Lord is giving ultimate love. If we reciprocate with that love in a positive, proper way, He reciprocates by revealing that love to us. The love of the Lord is always there, but we can't see it. But when we make these little gestures of offerings with humility and sincerity, He reciprocates by simply revealing what's already there. Naham prakasya sarvasya yoga maya samavrata mudho yam na vijanati loko mam ajram abhyayam. The Lord covers the reality of His eternal love by His eternal creative potency of maya. For those who want to continue enjoying separate from Him. The Lord has appeared in such a beautiful, beautiful form. Even with our materialistic vision, still we're attracted. How wonderful. In 1972, Srila Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan. He was looking at Radha Vrindavan Chandra. What he was seeing and what we were seeing was something very different. We're seeing, thinking, please Krishna, let me see something. And he's seeing something. That is the difference. So Prabhupada said that Radha Vrindavan Chandra, they have appeared as the most beautiful American boy and girl just to attract all of the American boys and girls. And when we decorate the deity very, very nicely, it brings attraction to the heart. And that attraction awakens the soul. Srila Prabhupada said, even a little child who doesn't know anything. Sometimes we see in our temple, the parents bring their children and they just push their head on the ground to offer their dandavats. Little baby children, they're just, and the parent just goes, and the child just goes, but that child is making great spiritual advancement. Because they're somehow or other bowing their head before the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes little babies, when the kirtan's going on, they start going like this. They clap their hands. It's not that they have a very deep philosophical understanding that by clapping the hands, all the birds of their sins are flying away. But still, because they're clapping before the deity, there's some benefit. But the greatest benefit, that because they're being conditioned in this culture, that gradually, as they grow older, their intelligence, their mind, their senses will be very purified. And then they'll be able to philosophically understand why they're doing what they're doing. And then they put their heart and soul in a spirit of surrender in whatever they do. That is the perfection of the human form of life. The beautiful deity is watching us, hearing us, the beautiful deity, is the Supreme Lord who has unlimited inconceivable senses. But he has appeared in such a way that we can relate to him. We can dance for him. We can sing for him. We can cook for him. Make garlands for him. Clothes for him. Decorate the temple for him. Build temples for him. We can show love for one another for his pleasure. The Lord has appeared as Sri Radha Gopinath for one purpose, and that is to give us a chance to awaken our ecstatic love of God. To attract our hearts. But as we are attracted to the deity, it is very, very essential that we understand how much this attraction must bring me deeper and deeper and deeper into the chanting of the holy names. Because it is through Nam Sankirtan that the realization of Krishna's form will be revealed to us. Actually, the whole creation is a family. We are all Krishna's children. All species of life. Krishna explains in Gita that all species of life within this material nature, they are aham bija pratapita. They are all, I am the seed-giving father. But we have forgotten. So to bring that consciousness back, we become a congregation in the temple. And we all recognize within each other that we are all the dear servants of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. They are the center, the focus of our lives. It is for their pleasure that we exist. When we relate to one another with this consciousness, we can create the spirit of a spiritual family. Because actually, in Goloka Vrindavan, it's a very family spirit. Similarly, in this world, unless we become attracted to the family spirit that is centered around Krishna, we cannot go back to Goloka Vrindavan. The process of Krishna consciousness is to recondition us to the culture of the spiritual world. These are not just rituals. The tilak that we're wearing, the clothes that we're wearing, the mantras that we're chanting, this is all Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtana. It's all descended from the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada has given it to us intact as it is. To recondition us to the family spirit of Vrindavan, where we are all related to one another as humble, sincere servants, all for the pleasure of Sri Radha Gopinath. To respect, to have affection, to encourage each other, to inspire a greater devotion to the Lord, that is the spiritual world. And that is what will attract the Lord's mercy to our life. This temple in Chopadi, Bombay, appeared very specifically as a pastime between Sri Radha Gopinath and the great Paramhamsa Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And what are we doing? We're all somehow or other, intentionally or unintentionally, we're just participating in this loving exchange between Srila Prabhupada and Sri Radha Gopinath. And quite symbolically, even in the physical sense, Sri Radha Gopinath's looking at Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's looking at Sri Radha Gopinath, and we're somewhere down below, in between, trying to figure out where we fit in. Is that the way it appears? And we know what Srila Prabhupada is, Radha Gopinath, they have appeared to attract our love. Srila Prabhupada has appeared to give everyone the understanding of how to be attracted by their love. So their appearance is a great mystery, which was not even revealed to our small intelligence till years after the fact. I believe it was in 1971. Srila Prabhupada was invited to give a lecture at Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan, which happens to be just across the street from where we are sitting today. It takes about, when there's no traffic, about 30 seconds to walk there. When there's traffic, it may take up to 15 minutes. So Srila Prabhupada gave lecture there. He came out of the hall. And he looked at his personal secretary, who was the first president, I believe, of Bombay, Shyam Sundar Prabhu. And he told him, "We should have a temple here. This is such an important place." Now that was in 1971. Nobody knew that this was said, except Shyam Sundar and a few people of the Bombay devotees of the very old school. And everyone forgot about it. But Krishna didn't forget about it. That is the difference. We forget, but Krishna does not forget. Krishna is always eager to reciprocate with the love of his devotee. So in the mid-1980s, some of our devotees were like homeless orphans. They didn't really have much of a place to worship the Lord. Orphans are like people without a home, correct? So the devotees, few devotees in Bombay, were like orphans, had not much of a place. And Srinathji Prabhu and Maithili Priyamataji, they happened to be coming here because this is the Lady Navaikot Hindu Orphanage. And they were just giving some prasad and teaching the little children kirtan without anything in expectation, just wanting to do some seva to these innocent little children. And the managing trustee of the orphanage left his body, and to Srinathji's great surprise, he was put in the will as the next managing trustee. So, since we were all orphans, it was quite befitting that we also have a place in the orphanage. So at that time there were two small little rooms downstairs. And somehow we got those two little rooms. And it began there, and gradually Srila Prabhupada's desire was being manifested. And in 1988, yes, somehow or other, this beautiful temple hall was given to us, and the deities of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath were installed on their altar, July 18th, 1988. Now still, no one knew that this was Prabhupada's will. Until just about 2 or 3 years ago, Shyam Sundar Prabhu was speaking to all of you on the day of Ram Navami when he began to cry. And he remembered, yes, what Prabhupada says, Krishna fulfills. So we didn't even know what we were doing. We were like, do you know the game of chess? The chess pieces, they just move according to somebody else's hands. It's not that the chess pieces move on their own. So somehow or other, just to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's great desire to show compassion to this part, to the people of this part of Bombay, each of us was used like little chess piece in this temple. And now so many hundreds, even thousands are coming together to hear the glories of the Lord, to chant the names of the Lord, all with the common focus of the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Our spiritual advancement is dependent on how much we unite for the pleasure of the Lord. The tendency in material consciousness is everyone is thinking about me, my family, my wealth, my body. And therefore there's endless competition and envy. But we have come before Sri Radha Gopinath with the spiritual understanding that we are all united to put aside our own egoistic attachments, to think in terms of what will please our Lord. Radha Gopinath are having transcendental pastimes. Srila Prabhupada is teaching us how to assist them in their divine pastimes for their pleasure. And we should see each and every other devotee in this light. How can I selflessly sacrifice of myself to help to create a harmonious mood of devotion to the Supreme Lord for His pleasure? To the degree we do this, to that degree, we will taste the sweetness of bhakti. Sometimes we chant and we read books and we do seva, and we think, why am I not tasting the sweetness of bhakti? But things do not just happen automatic. It happens in reciprocation to your sincere efforts. Ultimately, it's not your efforts. It's Krishna's mercy. But Krishna's mercy comes in reciprocation to your sincerity. Trinadapi sunichena taror ivasihishnana amanuna manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this simple principle. Don't try to be a big person. Don't try to be a great devotee. If you try to be a great devotee, you will never please Krishna. Try to be more humble than a blade of grass. Try to be more tolerant than a tree. Try to offer all respect to others. Try to restrain any desire for respect for oneself. In this spirit, try to constantly chant the holy name.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Hare.
That is actual spiritual qualities. Sometimes we get mixed up. We think that spiritual progress comes by the kind of dress you wear, the kind of hairstyle you have, the particular position you have, whether people are touching your feet or saying, oh, you are very good. This may or may not be a symptom, but actual spiritual elevation comes to the degree we feel ourselves disqualified. If you feel yourself qualified, you're disqualified. If you feel yourself disqualified, you have a chance to qualify. Because everything is based on causeless mercy. We have used the example of the magnet. Positive repulses positive. Positive attracts negative. You have seen in your science classes when you were young. Similarly, Krishna is supreme positive. He is great. He is the supreme great. If you think you're great, you will be repulsed by Krishna. If you think you're below nothing, then you will attract Krishna. The more negative our ego is, the more we will attract the superego of Krishna. The more our ego is big, the more it goes away from Krishna. Even though Krishna is coming to us, we're like... Humility doesn't mean just a hopeless condition where I'm just... In the material world, when you think you're useless, it's really a painful, miserable condition. You usually have to go to some kind of psychiatrist just to get you to remain alive. People commit suicide when they think they're totally useless. But that's because they're attached to the ego, but there's just nothing there to give it any satisfaction. But spiritual humility is altogether different principle. Because we see the greatness and the glory of Krishna, we just want to give all credit to Krishna, and therefore we consider ourselves nothing. If you don't have that Krishna to give all credit to give all glory to, I'm nothing because Krishna is everything. If there's no Krishna, then to feel yourself nothing is suicidal. But when you feel yourself nothing because you understand everything is coming from the grace of the Lord, who's all beautiful. People are proud of being beautiful. If that person becomes ugly in old age, it's worse than death. It's painful, it's miserable. Every time they look in the mirror and they see the photo next to the mirror of what they used to look like, they think, what happened? I'll never be like this again. So many surgeries, so many ointments and medicines, but they keep getting older. But when you have a picture of Krishna next to your mirror, then you think, what difference does it make what I look like? Krishna's all beautiful. Huh? This body is always changing, but Krishna's bird beauty is eternal. It's everlasting. That's humility. So the beautiful deities, they have come to give us the opportunity to create a spiritual family where we're all encouraging one another to surrender to Krishna. And to the degree we do that, we will taste the sweetness of spiritual life. If we criticize each other, if we offend each other, if we have mundane competition with one another, then we may have people say, very good, you are very good. But in your heart, you'll get nothing. Only pleasing Krishna will give satisfaction to your soul. There's no other happiness. Every other type of happiness, you could build empires. You can have the most glorious success in whatever endeavor you make in life. And it may give some temporary emotional satisfaction to your mind and senses. But it will not even touch your heart with happiness. The soul residing with your heart only responds to what pleases Krishna. If you water the root of the tree, each part of the tree is nourished. So our lives, spiritually, are completely dependent on how we satisfy Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. And Srila Prabhupada, the captain of our ship, he is sitting so mercifully upon his Vyasasan. And through his books, and through his devotees, he is teaching us the process of how to satisfy Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. We should take this process very, very, very seriously. Don't waste this valuable human life. Bhakti Vinod Thakur prayed in one song that if at the time of death you are not completely attracted to the all-beautiful form of the son of Yashoda Mai, then your whole life will be a great shame. What a shame it will be if we die and we don't have that love for the Lord of our heart. And death could come at any second. It's a serious matter. It's not just a part of our life. It should not be just an aspect of my cultural setting within India to come to the temple of the deity. It should be our very heart and soul, our purpose, our focus. The families of this world are usually united. Actually, they're usually not united. But sometimes they try to be united in the principle of this is our family, this is our dynasty, this is our caste. And there's a certain degree of unity there, which is helpful within material culture. However, if we are not these bodies, if we recognize the reality that I am the eternal soul, then we are all related because of our relationship to Radha Gopinath. And Srivas Thakur, when he heard the news that Nimai Pandit became a great Vaishnava, his words were, "May our Vaishnava family expand." At that time, there was just not that many Vaishnavas in Navadvip. They would be hearing together about Krishna. They would be discussing his pastimes, discussing the teachings of the Gita, the Bhagavat. They were again and again having wonderful kirtans, chanting the holy names. But the rest of the society was engrossed in materialistic pursuits. Even the scholars of the Vedas were doing it for their own profit, adoration, distinction. They wanted better materialistic facilities to enjoy their senses, or at the best they wanted liberation or some sort of a cheap mystical power to show off to others. There was only a handful of devotees. And what a family they were. They would do anything for each other. They were all humble servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. And for that reason, when they would chant and dance together, the spiritual world manifested. But they were praying, if only Nimai Pandit becomes a Vaishnav, he can bring so many others. Because although they were thoroughly satisfied with their own devotion, they would weep and cry to see the conditioned soul suffering due to forgetfulness. This is Vaishnava. It's a very mysterious, incomprehensible state of consciousness that great Vaishnavas have. Within this world, they're simultaneously ecstatic and suffering. They're ecstatic receiving the causeless mercy of the Lord and reciprocating that mercy. They're simultaneously suffering because they're so humble, they feel separate from the Lord. And that separation gives them the most intimate feeling of the Lord's presence. Hare Krishna. At the same time, such devotees that are feeling this ecstasy of the love of unity and separation in their own hearts, which is the highest bliss of the spiritual world, they suffer when they see their brothers and sisters, who they love so dearly, forgetful of Krishna, trying to enjoy the cheap pleasures of material life. Breaks their hearts. Advaitacharya Srivas Thakur, they would dance and chant. The spiritual world would descend in Srivas Thakur's house. It was none different than the Rasa Stali of Goloka Vrindavan. But still, they would cry out for the Lord to descend to deliver the fallen souls. So finally, when it was, they prayed and prayed and prayed, and then Nimai Pandit came back from Gaya, and then he was manifesting the ecstasies of Mahabhav, and he wanted to magnanimously spread Krishna consciousness to every town and village through the congregational chanting of the holy names. Srivas Pandit heard and said, "May our Vaishnava family expand. May more and more and more people come to the lotus feet of Krishna. Why? Because this will please Krishna. And what pleases Krishna will please my heart." Try to readjust our consciousness. Don't think what my tongue tells me is what will please me. What my eyes tell me will please me. What my ears tell me will please me. What my mind tells me will please me. That's conditioned life. Try to readjust to the reality that what Krishna tells me, what pleases Krishna will please me. Even if it's painful, if it pleases Krishna, it will please my soul. Eternal satisfaction. So we must chant very, very carefully every day because it pleases Krishna. And when he sees our earnest desire, he will reciprocate by purifying our heart. And we should come to the temple, not just as a ritual, but to be very eager to see the deities, to serve the deities, to chant for the deities, to dance for the deities, to dress the deities, to cook for the deities. But we have to do it in a spirit that creates love and trust amongst all the devotees. That type of eagerness she should have to please the Lord and to please the devotees and to show compassion to the fallen souls. There must be eagerness. If you go to someone's house, if you're a guest, and they say, "Oh, you're here again. You were just here 3 days ago. You came again. Here's some water. Here's some prasad. Here's a sitting place. It's still here. Will you be satisfied?" But if you come and the person, "Oh, you have so kindly blessed my home. Please come in. Please have this seat. Please take this water. Please accept this prasad." Then you'll naturally feel happy, will you not? If you'll feel happy, say Hari Bol.
Hari Bol!
Just wanted to make sure you're still awake. So eagerness is a prerequisite to give pleasure to the person that we're serving. So we should be eager to chant. We should be eager to see the deity. We should be eager to dance before the deity. Eager to to associate with Vaishnavas. Because how you treat the devotees, that's how the deity is going to feel that you're treating them. How you treat each Vaishnava is how you're treating Radha Gopinath. Don't separate. Don't think. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he used this example. At Srivas Thakur's house. He said, somebody, if they first go to a Brahmin and touch his feet, and then they take a stick and beat him on the head, will that Brahmin be satisfied? He said, similarly, if you worship the deity and then you mistreat devotees, that's how you treat Krishna. First you worship the deities, you touch his feet, then you mistreat the devotees, you beat him on his head. Not the devotee, the deity. Yes, no question, no speculation. This is the will of the Lord. So we should be eager to serve the deity, and we should be eager to serve the Vaishnavas in a very positive and sincere way. And then we will actually make great progress in pleasing Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was living in Sri Jagannath Puri, we were just in Jagannath Puri, and we saw a lot of eagerness to see Krishna. During the Pandu Vijay and then Ratha Yatra. How many of you have been to Ratha Yatra in Jagannath Puri? There was about, I was told, 700,000 people. 7 lakhs of human beings. Even in Kali Yuga, still, Jagannath's the most popular celebrity. Any musician, any politician, does 700,000 people come to see them with such eagerness? And what they're eager for, it's all varieties, but they're eager. It was amazing. Jagannath's just attracting everybody. There's sahajas, there's Shankaracharya comes with his followers. They're eager for impersonal Brahman. Sahajas are eager for some showing display of ecstasies. And there's materialistic people who are eager for good wife and more wealth and good grades in their exams. Everyone was eager for Jagannath to get something. And then there were the devotees who are just eager. Just let me be the servant of your servant of your servant. This is very important. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Puri for Ratha Yatra, according to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, before he began the kirtan and the ecstatic dance of love that attract everyone's heart, he chanted a particular verse to set the mood, to establish the prerequisite before you can actually make ecstatic loving kirtan. Do you know what that verse is he chanted? Naham viprona cha narapatira napi vaishyana shudra. I am not a Brahmin, I am not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Sudra. I'm not a sannyasi, I'm not a grihasta, I'm not a brahmachari, I'm not a vanaprastha. I am aspiring to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, the most insignificant servant of the Lord of the Gopis. Gopinath. First he chanted that prayer. You have to be in the mood of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant and give up all materially oriented designations. And then in that spirit, you can actually please the Lord by chanting his holy name. It was truly a wonderful experience. just remembering Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes while watching the Rath Yatra in Jagannath Puri. It's very special. And our devotees had kirtan from the beginning to the end. This words cannot explain. One day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath's temple, standing behind Garuda Stamba, seeing the beautiful form of Jagannath. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would every day witness Jagannath from the side of the Garuda Stamba. Because the first day he came to Puri, he was so eager to see Jagannath that he was running to embrace him, and then he just fell to the ground unconscious in ecstatic love. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, better you watch from there. So this one day, in the Jagamohan, the Kirtan Hall or Darshan Hall, there were hundreds and thousands of people crowded in Jagannath's temple. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was beholding the beauty of Jagannath. At this time, there was a local Orissan woman. She just wanted to see Jagannath so much. She was so eager. But she was a small woman, and there were hundreds and thousands of people in front of her. So she started climbing up the Garuda Stamba. And she was up on the top with her feet on Lord Chaitanya's shoulder, looking at Jagannath's darshan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal servant, Govinda, he told this Orissan lady to get off Lord Chaitanya's shoulder. It's not bona fide. So she realized what she had done. She was stepping on this sannyasi's shoulder, who happens to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Garuda is the Lord's bird carrier. He's a very great Vaishnav. Her feet was on Garuda. And the Lord of all creation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, her feet was on his shoulder. So she got down and she began to beg forgiveness from the Lord. Meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya chastised his servant Govinda. He said, you Adivasya, you uncivilized man. He said, you should not have told her to get off the Garuda Stamba. Let her behold the beauty of Lord Jagannath to her full satisfaction. After the woman appealed for the forgiveness of the Lord, Lord Chaitanya prayed that I am so unfortunate that Lord Jagannath has not given me this type of eagerness to see him. This woman, her body, her mind, her entire life is completely absorbed in seeing the beauty of Lord Jagannath. I pray at the feet of this woman that she may bless me with her eagerness to see the form of the Lord. How do we become eager? We have to act eager. Krishna reciprocates. If we act with eagerness, he will know that we want it. Just like when you're in college. You want good grades. If you want good grades, you have to act like you want good grades. What does that mean? You have to study. You can't just sit home and think, I will get good grades. You have to work for it. You have to work for the prize. And what is the prize? The prize is to please Krishna. And the price is to be eager for that pleasure of Krishna. So yes, we should be enthusiastic to come and see the deities. We should be enthusiastic to serve the devotees. We should be enthusiastic especially to chant the holy names every single day. should be enthusiastic to preach the message of Krishna consciousness. We should be enthusiastic in whatever little service we're offered. Whether it's washing the floor, whether it's cutting some vegetables, whether it's raising your children in Krishna consciousness, we should be enthusiastic because we're doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. And if we don't feel enthusiastic, we act enthusiastic. We pray for that enthusiasm, for the pleasure of Krishna, for the pleasure of Sri Siddhartha Gopinath. They are standing so illustriously on their throne today, inviting us all into their eternal transcendental lila. And at the same time, they're watching us fall asleep while the class is going on. And they're watching us from within our hearts, as long as from the outside and inside, how our minds are wandering. But they may be very pleased to know that all of you are very enthusiastic to take their prasad. That's how Krishna consciousness, you're safe on all sides. The culture of Krishna consciousness is so perfect. So on this auspicious day, let us offer our millions and millions of prostrated obeisances at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Sri Radha Gopinath for appearing in this auspicious place just to attract our hearts. As we please Srila Prabhupada's instructions, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath's mercy will shower and shower and shower upon us. So let that be our life and soul. Sankirtan means to create a congenial, loving environment amongst devotees where the sincere, humble, selfless act of chanting the holy names purifies their hearts and purifies the whole world. Special meditation in kirtan today, let it be to offer our very heartfelt gratitude to the Lord. When Sri Sri Radha Gopinath appeared in this temple, they provided all the wonderful devotees and facilities by which we can